to Marvelicious Toys. Hosted by Justin and his amazing friends, Arnie and Marjorie. We bring you news and reviews of Marvel toys, statues, and more. Because not all Marvel collections can be bagged and boarded. They're not just toys, they're Marvelicious.
Hello and welcome to issue 40 of Marvelicious Toys. I'm Marjorie.
I'm Arnie.
And I'm Justin. Dot, dot, dot.
We have joining us, because this is a special episode of Marvelicious Toys, the Avengers.
Is this the one where Justin gets touched in the back of the bike shop?
That was a good Mighty Mouse cartoon. I don't know what happened.
In the Avengers have finally assembled on screen, so we have assembled a roster of guest co-hosts for this episode. Guys, why don't you introduce yourself? We'll start with Jerry.
So do we have enough here to pick out a particular member of the Avengers we want to represent? Because I could do that. That might be fun. No, just kidding. That'd probably get annoying really fast. But my name is Jerry. I am your kindly review segment host, and I'm really looking forward to being part of today's show. So thanks for having me.
I designate you as our Maria Hill.
Dang it!
Ow!
That's stuff to say about Maria Hill, though.
She's pretty smoking, though.
Oh, yeah. She kind of usurped Scarlet in my book, but we'll get into that later.
I don't know.
I'll have to defend my Scar Joe.
Yeah.
Barrett.
Hey, Justin, Arnie, Marjorie. It's very nice to be here on my second round of Marvelicious Toys. It's always very nice to be invited to the other side of Venganza, as I call it. So thank you for inviting me.
Glad to have you.
Then we have the person who has made thousands of pictures that I take and made them actually look good, Jeff.
You've reached Life Model Decoy. Jeff, please leave a message. Hey, yeah, what Arnie said, I look at pictures. I look at a lot of pictures. And after this, I'm going to look at some more pictures, so let's get to it.
How many of them did you get from Scar Joe's cell phone that you hacked?
Not nearly enough.
And finally, we have a special guest joining us, Mr. Dan Curto.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
And while listeners can head over to nowplayingpodcast.com to hear my thoughts on Avengers, I thought that we'd go around, and even though this isn't a movie review podcast, it's what's on everybody's mind. And just a warning to listeners, we're assuming if you're listening to this show, you're not the type who's sitting around going, that Avengers movie looked pretty good. I might go see that. So, spoiler warning in full effect. So, what did you guys think of the movie? And Dan, we'll start with you.
Well, I've been waiting for this, obviously, since the first Iron Man movie, but even longer. It was fantastic. I loved it. I loved every part of it. I'm a huge fan of Marvel, huge fan of Joss Whedon, huge fan of Scarlett Johansson's rear, as we've seen many times lately. But, I mean, it knocked it out of the park. It really did.
Her butt knocked it out of the park? She does have a nice butt. She's pretty hot.
You notice, like, every scene of her, even the cover of Entertainment Weekly had her butt. I'm like, seriously?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if it's Scarlett Johansson, why wouldn't you show that?
Well, in the promotional art they had, the drawing that you see everywhere, right. The very first one was of all the men striking a heroic pose, except for Black Widow, who was sticking out her ass.
Right.
And it got such an uproar, they changed it, and that's why she's doing this high kick she's doing now. There's, if you look online, and I've posted this on the Marvelicious Toys wall, somebody actually did a parody of it where it's Black Widow striking a pose and all the other guys are like turning around and sticking their butts out and feeling up their own asses. Nice.
Well, hey, even my promotional plastic bucket of popcorn has her butt featured right on it.
That's her power, you see. The butt or the cleavage distracts the bad guys, and she can just, you know, judo away her through everything.
Well, they really did not shy away from her sexuality. And, you know, the source material, the comic book material, they never shy away from female sexuality. You know, there was always a big hubbub of, you know, big breasts and big butts and stuff that the heroines have in the Marvel Universe. And so they really did not shy away from that, because you really get some good ass shots in a comic book, too, if you really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was great. I thought it was everything that I could ask for. You know, I was listening to some of the Now Playing reviews, and I think it was the one that Jacob said where, you know, for a long time, this wasn't even possible to do, and nobody ever thought they would be able to bring a bunch of superheroes together and get it done. And I think they really did it. I mean, I love Captain America. I mean, Chris Evans is Captain America. From the first line that he says when he meets Bruce Banner on the, you know, that big flying fortress they have, you know, Banner says, you know, what else have you heard about me? And he says, nothing that I care about or nothing that matters. And I was so Steve Rogers. You know, that is the Captain America that I've had in my head from reading the comic books for years. And I saw it three times. I saw it one time at midnight with my brother. I saw it two times with my son. The first one was a little bit later, so he fell asleep. So I took him back again today and saw it again. And three different showings. One was the IMAX, one was the regular 3D, and one was the regular Avengers. And it was every time you see it, you know, you get more and more. So I was absolutely happy with that movie. And I bet nobody better poo-poo it. No, I'm just kidding.
Jeff, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what I can say that Barron didn't. I mean, it's just there are so many. I mean, if you have any kind of history, any sort of following with any of the characters, there's just so many moments in there that it just hits perfectly. I mean, you know, there's a couple things you can nitpick, but they're just that, nitpicks. And, you know, for all the hype building up to this and on a lot of other shows that I've listened to, you know, everybody's going, well, okay, this is it, but it's not, you know, it's not going to be Dark Knight big. It's not going to be that successful. And I think that it's pretty much probably going to be even money now. I mean, it's just like, you know, exactly what Barron said, the, you know, Cap, it's, I kind of feel that Cap is one of those characters that, you know, people look at and exactly like when Coulson was mentioning the uniform and, you know, Cap says, well, don't you think the Stars and Stripes are a little too old fashioned? And I think that's what a lot of people think about characters like Cap. So it's really great to see someone like that really come into their light and just, you know, at the end where he actually takes command of the group. And they all listened to him, and that was it. I mean, it's like, I just wanted to, like, cheer, but there were a lot of people, and I don't do that in the theater, so.
If only our audience was as polite.
Yeah.
We can, you know, I have to say that Joss Whedon is also a huge fan, obviously, and that comes through in every scene, every dialogue, every interaction with all the characters. I mean, he gets it, and he brought it.
Very true, very true.
And also no surprise that Black Widow's played such a prominent role. You know, he likes to take care of the female characters, you know, in his work. So yay for that.
Jerry, what about you?
You know, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I saw it twice. The first showing was in 3D. Saw the next day in 2D. My family, the four of us, my wife, two kids, we went and saw it. I posted some pictures on Facebook. We kind of did a little bit of the dress-up thing, not really, not in a San Diego Comic-Con sort of way, but in a, hey, Jerry was at Target 3 o'clock in the afternoon, saw the Hasbro mask and thought, hey, this would be really funny sort of way. So we had a blast with it. Both my kids enjoyed it. My wife even, I think, enjoyed it, and she really couldn't sit through any of the individual character movies, let's call it. And I'd say, you know, like you guys have said, there are a couple flaws one could pick out, but I have zero complaints. This movie absolutely just knocked it out of the park. Loved it and can't wait to see it again.
Justin.
Well, you know, going forth here, I don't know what more I can add to what everybody else has said, but I guess for me, what this has done has made me a little frightened for the future, because I feel like the bar has now been set at such a level that it's going to be hard to get over it in the future. So we've talked about it in the past, like eventually this whole comic book movie craze is going to fizzle out. And right now where I think we're still just kind of ramping up to the peak of it. And I guess my thoughts about needing Robert Downey Jr. in a role have been confirmed. Even though everybody who was cast in this movie did an awesome job, and I think even more so in this movie than in Thor and Cap, those two guys shone as characters, even in this ensemble, it still feels like it's Robert Downey Jr.'s universe. And once he's out of it, it may not feel as lively, I guess. But that's a future problem. This movie, I believe, there's a few things I had going in that I wasn't sure and how hokey it might be, you know, because they make it sound like the Avengers are going to assemble. And I kind of felt like there was going to be a whole bunch of like, hey, come on, come be an Avenger type of stuff. But I loved the way Thor was brought in. And I loved the way that Tony was brought in. It wasn't just scene after scene after scene of like, we need to talk these guys into it. It was, it felt way more natural. And by the end, like, you know, Jerry spoke about, or I'm not sure if it was Jerry or Jeff, somebody spoke about Cap's uniform being the stars and stripes. You know, it looks a little hokey. It looks a little hokey when you think about it in a little bit of a real world situation. But by that end scene, it's like, oh yeah, he's wearing that because it was handed to him a couple hours ago. And why wouldn't he? Because everybody else is just kind of wearing what they brought at this point. So that to me goes back to Joss Whedon being, I think, the perfect guy to be at the helm of this movie. So they got, to me, it got a little bit slow in the middle. Not so slow that I got bored, but felt like we spent a little too much time on the helicarrier. But I've also heard that there's over a half hour of material that was almost in the final cut that deals a lot with Cap and him going back and meeting some people from his past and stuff like that, which I think hopefully it'll be on the DVD, but sounds to me like it probably deserves to be on the cutting room floor because it would have really slowed the pace down to something that doesn't deserve to be in a movie that is moving this fast.
Marjorie, what about you? What do you think of the film?
I loved it, and I'll be honest, and I'm probably going to get skewered for this, so I'm going to say something that's probably going to rock a lot of people's worlds. I was not a Whedon fan, and I don't know that I am, but I like this movie. I really liked it, and I was really afraid with Joss Whedon being in charge of it that it was going to suck. I didn't like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I watched it because Arnie watched it. You know, that's what you do when you're with somebody. So you watch things that you don't necessarily like. I didn't care for Dr. Horrible. Thought it was boring. Couldn't stand it. Turned it off a little bit into it. Neil Patrick Harris says it's only redeeming quality.
Come on, it's only 20 minutes long the whole season. How can you get bored in 20 minutes?
Yeah, I just didn't find it interesting. I thought it was kind of stupid, actually. I'm not a Joss Whedon fan. I wasn't. I think he made a really great movie with this, and I think it was a lot of fun. I think he had some, I don't think they're great actors, and I hate to use that phrase, but I think maybe they get along well together and can play well together and kind of have their fun, snarky moments. And I really loved the old-fashioned Captain America in the modern world. It was kind of like Perfect Strangers. It was great. I love that. And Captain America is one of my favorites anyway.
I immediately thought Perfect Strangers when he and Iron Man did the Miko's Dance of Joy.
Yes, exactly. You know, the little fish out of water thing was kind of cute for him. The one thing that I was just astounded by is, you know, I grew up in the 80s, and Incredible Hulk was one of the TV shows I watched religiously and faithfully. Terrified of the Hulk, much like Arnie when he was little. Bill Bixby, loved the man. He was fantastic as Bruce Banner, David Banner. And I was just floored how well Mark Ruffalo did it. And it was just amazing. I thought he was just, I think he did a great job. And I was enraptured every time he was on the screen and when he turned into the Hulk. And the fact that they made the Hulk look so much like him is the best Hulk to date as far as the CGI Hulks go. And I really hope that he gets his own movie out of this. With Ruffalo, and we can forget all that other crap that happened with Hulk.
Supposed to, I think.
I hope so. He was really good. I mean, when he was turning into the Hulk, you could see the pain and his fear in his eyes, and I liked Mark Ruffalo anyway, so.
I like how this Hulk was a lot more ape-like than past Hulks. He crawled around on his hands just like a gorilla does, and that's something that they hadn't done before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just, I don't know, it fit. It was good. Mm-hmm.
The interaction with the characters is something that's like literally right out of the pages of all the books. They don't always get along. Every time superheroes meet, they fight. It's like the cliche. And having them do that on the big screen is like, yeah, that's perfect. Thor supercharging Iron Man's armor. It's like, oh, that was kind of cool. You know, I was a little worried about Hawkeye because I didn't have the, you know, movie feedback on him already, you know, because he hadn't starred in a film before. He had that cameo in Thor, but I hope if they do another one, which probably they will, that they follow the animated series route and have Hawkeye and Hulk sort of like be teamed up a lot, because I love that relationship on the cartoon series.
I actually thought Hawkeye was kind of lame. He was just
agreed.
Yeah, he's just he can shoot bows and arrows, and apparently he didn't even do it right in the movie because Archers got mad at the movie that he was doing it wrong. I'm like, okay.
Because they can't have Ant-Man and Wasp, so they had to have another male and female characters added.
Yeah. Love Scarlet. She was amazing in this movie. I think she's great. Beautiful. Looks great with the red hair. And I think her and Cobie Smulders really did a great job in a very liked on the females movie. I have no idea why Gwyneth Paltrow was in this movie, other than to prove that Tony Stark had a girlfriend who wore Daisy Dukes. I don't know why she was in this movie.
It was literally like Gwyneth Paltrow pulled up, got right out of her limo, walked up, did the scene, wearing whatever she was wearing, and left.
Yeah, exactly.
I take a little bit of umbrage with the, you know, light on females. That disheveled Citizen of New York waitress lady got so much screen time.
She deserves a trading card. She's in the trading card.
Now we know why.
Yeah.
She's a friend of Whedon.
Star, I guess.
She's apparently been in some of his other stuff. But as we're a collecting show, let's turn to the collecting. There were a ton of freebies that have been talked about, from collectible soda cups to 3D glasses to IMAX posters to Lego posters. Ours had nothing.
No, they gave away a Dark Knight poster.
To one person.
Yeah.
And it seemed like nobody wanted it in the audience. They also gave away one pair of Iron Man glasses. Not even a full set of the 3D glasses. But what about you guys? Did you get any of the opening night collectibles?
You know what, Arnie? I went to the theaters Friday night with IMAX 3D tickets in hand, and I saw the 3D glasses. I was like, hey, cool, can I get a set of those? And they're like, oh, no, that's just for the real 3D. You get a different set of glasses that aren't compatible, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, forget that. I want 3D glasses. I'm paying more for this IMAX ticket. Those are really cool. What do you mean I don't get them? And the gentleman, I'll give him props for customer service. He said, well, you know what, sir, if you'd like, I can exchange your tickets for real 3D, and then I can give you a set. I was like, well, perfect. Set me up. Sadly, though, they were out of Thor by the time I saw a 6:05 showing. So I have two caps, the Iron Man, the Hulk, of course. So if anybody wants to trade me a Thor for a cap, look me up.
I saw your post about that. I've been trying to find somebody for you, but no luck.
Or you can just give them to your best friend over here, because I didn't have nothing. I went and saw this thing three times, nothing. They didn't even offer them at the IMAX theater that I went to. They didn't have, he said that they didn't get their shipment in. So even the regular 3D patrons did not get any eyeglasses. This was in Sacramento, by the way, Thursday. I was traveling for work, saw my brother in Sacramento. We went and saw it up there. Saw it again on Friday here in my hometown at the Edwards Cinemas. They had nothing, no glasses, no poster, no nothing. Took my son again today to a different theater, nothing. So I'm 0-3 on any type of special movie collectible when it comes here. And I will be furiously looking to trade anything I have for something on the forums.
I didn't find anything. I went with my son to the midnight show. We got in line, met some friends of mine that were also going, and none of us were looking to collect any of the glasses or cups or anything. We didn't see it in 3D. We saw it on 2D. And, you know, what I did go out the next day and buy some figures. So that was kind of fun.
Yeah, we went 2D as well. And we went to the 7:30 Friday night show, and it was pretty well packed. I mean, we stood in line after getting our tickets to be ushered into the theater. So there really wasn't much time to see if there was any way of getting glasses or anything. But yeah, pretty much just walked out with our collectible bucket and collectible large soda cups. So That's as far as we took it that night.
Yeah, in the immortal words of the great Charles Brown, I got a rock. There's nothing here. I mean, I thought that we were going to have – see, I didn't realize until afterward, and I was looking it up online. I guess some of it was AMC theater exclusive, and then a lot of them were for advanced screenings, none of which I ever knew about. So they had nothing there.
See, we went to an AMC, but those 3D glasses were specifically reserved at our AMC for people who did the whole day marathons. And I really thought that getting there for the midnight show, we'd at least get a pair. I didn't think you'd really have to buy the $40 movie ticket to get a pair. No, you did. And they were giving any else away as like trivia giveaways, and that was it. So I will admit, I've got one of the passive scan 3D TVs at home. If I actually had those glasses, I could really use them. It wouldn't just be extraneous. So I did go to eBay, and the cheapest buy it now price was $75. So I snagged the set.
Yikes.
Ouch.
I also want to point out there was a supermoon this weekend. And then had a lot to do with it.
Now, the theater I went to was a National Amusements Showcase Cinemas, and they had the glasses. So, and like I said, they only said for the real 3D, not the, you know, not the IMAX or anything, and they were about out. By the time I left, they were about out. So if you didn't go on a Friday, I wouldn't imagine you wouldn't have gotten them. But I also did get the Lego poster as well. So the theater I went to is handing out all kinds of stuff.
Well, at $200 million opening weekend, I'm pretty sure any and all swag that they had sent out there is going to be gobbled up and gone by now. So maybe eBay might be the way to go.
Well, just to clarify, we were at a midnight show opening night, and Marjorie got her face painted.
I did. I got a Captain America shield on my cheek.
That would not come off.
No, I had it stained my skin, and I had to like scrub it and scrub it and scrub it to get off.
You know, if they come at you with Sharpies, you say no.
Oh, that was the problem. I shouldn't have let them use Sharpies. No, it's stupid clown face paint.
I did notice that you were missing your famous Captain America squinky earrings, though, in the picture.
Yeah, I was really tired. I'm not going to lie. Midnight movies, I'm too old for that.
Well, Dan, you said you went out and bought a whole bunch of Avengers movie toys. We'd talked in the past. You weren't too impressed with them. Justin, Marjorie, and I have talked on the show about the articulation.
No, I've kind of been avoiding them. And, you know, like you say, I'm a big action figure guy. But, you know, I have a Thor. I have an Iron Man. I have a Captain America. The Hulk, I wasn't impressed with. I kind of didn't want to get all the ones that they had. And I went to Walmart yesterday, and they had an unannounced sale for $5. I'm like, well, how can I turn this down? So I did end up picking up, I think, three of them. So now I have my Avengers line. But again, it's for me right now, it's just kind of like I want to get into it and I want to, you know, enjoy it. We had our own little marathon the entire week. You know, like every night we watched one of the films leading up to it. And then finally we're like, all right, now we're ready. We watched the special Agent Coulson one shots that were on the Blu-ray that I didn't even know about. Somebody on Facebook told me, hey, you got to get the Blu-ray version. So I ran out to Best Buy, did my $5 gift card upgrade to Blu-ray. And yeah, I loved it. Rest in peace, Phil.
His first name is Agent.
Agent.
Agent. For me, after seeing the movie, I was not impressed with the Hulk figure going into the movie, and now I'm very disappointed with what we have for a Hulk option because none of these scales are right. And secondly, as Curto pointed out earlier, the CGI in the movie, he was more gorilla and ape-like than anything, and none of these figures are going to be able to be posed in the same way that he, you know, interacts with the rest of the characters on the screen. So, and with that, even the likeness isn't very good. His neck is way too skinny. His head's a little too small on the figures. And I'm hoping at some point they go back and rectify that because this Hulk that we got is not the movie Hulk.
I'm thinking they will. I mean, an ab crunch on a figure that size isn't very good anyway, but I'm pretty sure we're going to see another Hulk figure in this line at some point.
I would hope so. And the other thing that I noticed was that Captain America movie figure is completely inaccurate. His head mask, his cowl, shows his ears. Well, in the movie, his ears are covered. So that one's going back to the store. No, I'm just kidding.
I think that was a problem in the first line, too.
Yep. And a few of them. But there were so many in the first line that you could, you know, mix and match and make something of it. But this one, being only one movie cap in line, it's a little bit disappointing that they couldn't hit that detail, but yet they got the little EKG thing that we talked about on the last episode in there and never mentioned in the movie.
I have the exact opposite reaction. I actually appreciate the action figures a little bit more after seeing the movie three times without getting any promo items. But for example, the Loki figure that is released, you know, seeing Loki on screen and his costume is so busy that I can't really tell without having a side-to-side comparison of what is exactly different than his costume in Thor. I mean, one of the things is that his gold is a lot more brushed and it's not a lot less shiny than it was in Thor polished. It's more of kind of a battle type of bronzes gold. So I really appreciate that Loki action figure a lot more because I was unable to find the Loki release in the Thor line. So it actually makes me appreciate this Loki figure a lot more.
You know, prior to this week, I had only bought the Loki figure for all the reasons you just said, Barrett, and then also that one Captain America figure where it's the Steve Rogers head. I thought those are two really neat figures that the original movie lines needed to have. But then this week, I got into it. I bought the movie cap, and I thought, you know, I've got to get a Mark 7. How do you have 1 through 6 and not the 7? But I actually love this line because I've said this on the show before. I hate, and I'm using the word hate, okay, ankle articulation on these 3 3/4 inch figures. Unless you're Spider-Man, I don't have a need for it. I have 2 or 3 Iron Man figures right now that always lean forward and backwards because of the stupid ankle articulation. And I love this Mark 7 because the leg is solid. He stands on a stand and he looks awesome. So I kind of like, and I get what Hasbro's doing. There's a little cost savings and you're dummying down the figure a little bit and it's easier to sculpt, you know, the one part, blah, blah, blah. But it works for me. And I really like what that does for the figure as a whole. I like that you move the wrists and the elbows. You can find some poses. I don't go after poses in my collection that requires anything complicated with the legs. Again, unless you're Spider-Man, totally works for a character like that. I'm good without it.
We're going to fight.
I did feel like Chum had just been put in the water, and I'm just going to get in my little boat and let's have it.
I don't think even the Spider-Man figures are that articulated that they're doing now. So,
no. And, you know, Jerry, I mean, it's a good point, bringing up the articulation. I suppose my point being more about missing the mark on character likeness. Don't get me wrong, I'm still enjoying that we have this movie line and hope they keep coming out with the ones that we've seen going forward. The Loki figure is awesome, and I do not miss articulation in the ankles there at all. But Iron Man, come on. Iron Man needs to be super articulated. Hulk needs to be able to hunch over and be the right scale.
Oh, you know, I didn't say that in response to anything I was said previously other than just saying that, hey, this is why I like these figures. You're right. The Hulk is a complete disaster. I mean, that crosses the line of embarrassing that they try to represent the Hulk character with that figure. And you're right. That Hulk figure, I mean, the color, I don't think the color of the green's right. I mean, it fails all over.
Yeah, completely wrong green.
You can always go back to the 2008 line where they had Hulk look a little bit differently, but they did some better sculpting.
You know, as much as I'm trying to think of something to defend this Hulk figure because, you know, Hulk was so awesome in the movie that, you know, the only thing I can say is they got his pants right. That's about it on this figure. The color of his pants are right on.
That's more of an insult than a compliment, I think. Well, you got the pants right.
Hey, this just makes me look more forward to my Hot Toys Hulk, who will be in the right scale and have the right detailing and from the teaser shot, the right simian-like arms.
And possibly a little sooner than we had thought originally as well.
Yeah, I have a feeling that I will be having him on pre-order by the time we record our next show. Last show, I said I'd have another Hot Toys on pre-order. This show, yep, Thor. I hope they don't release them and bill my credit card as quickly as they're taking the pre-orders. I think they're pre-ordering to catch the hype. But yeah, Hasbro has let me down with Hulk in every scale, every single scale. And while the Walmart one may have a little bit better detailing, he's still not correctly proportioned and he's still not correctly scaled.
I think you're going to have to wait for the Marvel Select one come out, and that'll be in scale with the 6-inch guys, because I think that the Marvel Select, that's like, what, 7 or even 8 inches tall? So that should be about right.
Exactly. This is going to be a line where you're going to have to do some real mixing and matching. Because like you said, the Marvel Select one will probably be close enough to be in scale with the Legends, and maybe the Legends one will be good enough to be in scale with the 3 3/4 inch.
Yes.
Now, has everybody on this call liked the movie? I know I got a little bit hyped before the movie started. I've been swimming in chibis and grab zags and Legos and God only knows what else. Have you guys done any impulse purchases?
Oh, yeah. My thing's been grab zags. Friday, my son and I went to Toys R Us, and we were 9 for 9 in being able to kind of inspect the bag before purchasing and just getting the figures I don't want
to see. There is a way to say that without getting sucked into
it. Did you like that? I chose my words carefully. I don't want disc launchers. I don't want skateboards. I don't want flashlights. I don't want pens. But we were 9 for 9. I didn't get the whole set because they only had 6 that I identified in the Avenger lines that were actually figurines. And I think there's 8 characters. But I got the cap, so I was pretty happy about that. He's ultra rare. I posted on Facebook the picture though that I had the two Hulks from the two different lines, and they're the exact same mold, just colored a little differently. And they got the pants right too, by the way, Barrett.
I picked up the Minimates sets at Toys R Us because you can buy 6 sets, get the whole team, you're good to go.
6 sets? I thought it was 4
yeah,
sets.
Sorry. Yeah. So you get – you're right. Anyway, you get them all relatively inexpensive, and I do have a pretty large collection of Minimates. I don't know exactly how that happened. But I dig them. I think they're pretty cool.
Yeah, I did go ahead and pick those up. Again, that was another impulse buy. I'm hit or miss on the Minimates. I get the ones I like, but I like the Avengers, so I got them.
I have to admit, I looked at them a little bit longer than I normally would, but I ended up walking out without them. But it's a testament to how good they look, because I usually look at the Minimates and put them right back.
It probably helped that right the same day they had those out, they put out their latest wave, which had an Arnim Zola figure and a Crossbones figure, and I ended up a Beta Ray Bill, so I ended up getting that whole wave of them, and it's like, yeah, all right, I'll get those Avengers ones too.
Also helps that there's nothing else to buy.
Oh, on contraire, au contraire. I didn't buy any toys this for the Avengers build-up, but I did buy my son some Avengers swim trunks that are awesome. They have Hulk and Iron Man and Captain America and Thor on them, and, you know, in preparation for the summer. And I also bought a Avengers beach towel for him. So I wasn't going to go spend my money on that Hawkeye figure or the Iron Man figure. Like somebody had mentioned before, I have so many Iron Men. So I kind of went the clothes route and got something that, you know, my son could use for the summertime. But that's about it. I mean, I did buy a couple more bags. I did buy those chibis, and we were able to get a full set, first series set of the chibis. But that's about it for me.
I bought a good deal of it leading up to and after, and I even tried during the movie to buy stuff. I got all the figures, the basic ones that came out, except for I did buy Loki. But, I mean, I've been just – whatever's come out. I bought the Hero Clicks. But after that, after I saw the movie, I just went out and I said, I'm going to go get that Quinjet. And I ran over to Toys R Us, and I found the Quinjet. And, you know, they still have that sale, well, as of yesterday, of, you know, buy $30 worth of stuff, get a free basic figure. So then I looked up and I saw those Minimates, and I went, ah, hell. So I bought that set of 4. And then, I don't know, that's right. I put the order in yesterday for the Marvel Select Hulk from my comic store. So that's that one I'm looking forward to the most.
So let me ask everybody this, since we're on the topic of toys. Going back to the movie a little bit, before the movie came out, Whedon had said that the alien race is not going to be Skrulls, and it's not going to be Krees, but they end up being what? Chitauri?
Chitauri. I'm glad you brought this up, actually.
In name only.
Chitauri, right. Isn't Chitauri from back in the day what the Skree used to be anyway?
They're the ultimate universe version of the Skrulls.
Of Skrull. Right. So yeah. We do have Skrulls.
Sort of.
Yeah, but if you're a fan, shapeshifters.
You can't call them Skrulls because Skrulls are owned by – well, they fall under the Fantastic Four banner, which is licensed somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
If you're a fan of the Ultimate Avengers and Ultimate Avengers 2 movies that I referenced last week, then you're totally up to speed with the Chitauri, except they're a little different.
Yeah. They change shape.
right, yeah, exactly. And they're apparently Nazis or something, yeah.
Right. What'd you think about the surprise villain at the end?
I know I had to explain it to like half the theater of who it was.
Exactly. I felt like that was a complete, you know, handoff to fanboys. And everybody, like, you could tell who was excited and everybody else was like, what?
Kevin Feige, who is the producer of all these, said that at one of the screenings he went to, somebody stood up and yelled, Hellboy!
So somebody in the group that I went with last night said, oh, wait a minute, that can't be right. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, that was Darkseid. And I was like, No, but I could see why you'd say that. It's
he's not
the
really wrong.
Equivalent of Darkseid for Marvel.
Yeah,
but.
Technically not entirely wrong. They were merged right. together as one character for a while there.
Yeah.
Right. I got a strong hint of that. I can't remember the character's name who Loki was dealing with in the cosmos out there, but his chin had a very Thanos feel to it, and I was like thinking maybe that's the same race as Thanos. And sure enough,
so
at the end, yeah.
They have that chin thing going.
Yep, exactly.
The guy who he was talked to is only billed as the Other, but according to IMDb, he's actually Annihilus.
Ooh.
No.
Really? I don't trust really IMDb, but if you click on the character page, it goes to the page listing Annihilus.
Interesting.
Hey, Galactus was a cloud. Anything's possible.
Well, he pimp slapped Loki there, so, you know, it could be Annihilus.
Speaking of which, this movie was filled with just some great slapstick comedy, like true great slapstick comedy, usually involving Hulk, like when he punches Thor. Just out awesome. Of nowhere.
I ended up, the very day that we saw this movie, Tom Beland, who's one of our favorite authors, I've gotten some custom sketches from him. He saw this movie and was inspired by that and drew a picture of the aftermath of that, of Thor and Hulk in the aftermath. They're like having tea, but they're all bruised up. And at the top, it has one caption of when Hulk sucker punches Thor in the other caption. It has like the Avengers assembling. And so I picked that up and Marjorie was really happy about that.
Hey, I don't know about you guys, but my son, he's 7. When he saw, that was his favorite part of the whole movie. When he saw Hulk punch Thor, and when Hulk was just pummeling Loki. I mean, that was his favorite part. He had the biggest cheesy smile. And people out there with who are parents with kids, they know, they used to give you these genuine smiles, you know, and it takes a lot for them to see something they haven't already seen before and give them that smile, you know, that genuine kind of Kool-Aid grin, you know. And it was just nice to see that. But that was his favorite parts of the movie.
And that was my favorite part of the movie, too. So,
oh, yeah. I mean, my daughter, she happened to be wearing the Hulk mask of all the masks I kind of assigned everybody. So she got the biggest kick out. But even my son, who's 11, he giggled. I mean, that was just amazing. And it just, to me, what I loved about it, especially the Loki scene, is that that's just something Hulk should be able to do. And there's so many times where you see Hulk in various forms of Marvel media saying, and you say to yourself, you watch the scene and you say to yourself, well, why does he just punch him? You know, why does he just throw a car at him? Because he could. And that was just one of those moments, you know, Loki's talking trash, so I'm just going to go bam bam on you. That was like something out of a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
I don't know if you guys were able to catch it, because when I first saw it, the audience was just cheering and laughing too loudly. But on my second viewing, I was able to catch that Hulk goes, puny god.
Yeah. Same here. I didn't hear it at first either. Yeah.
One thing that I am thankful for, it feels like another Hulk scene where Harry Dean Stanton finds him in that building. That scene felt like that might have been meant to be the Stan Lee cameo, but instead they gave it to Harry Dean Stanton, which I'm kind of glad about, because, you know, it's getting a little trite with the Stan Lee cameos, and it was perfect where they had him. But didn't that feel kind of little weird and out of place for Harry Dean Stanton to just pop up for that little bit?
I was looking the whole movie. Where's Stan Lee's cameo?
Well, the Harry Dean Stanton thing, there's cut scenes. Like Jerry had said, there's like a half an hour of cut scenes. Harry Dean Stanton had a much larger role. And, I mean, don't you guys find it odd that Banner finds this junky little moped and just comes rolling up out of nowhere? There is character motivation as to why that happened in this cut scene with Harry Dean Stanton. Ruffalo has talked a lot about it in interviews, says it was his favorite scene of the movie that he was involved in, and it breaks his heart that it was cut. So, as it is, Harry Dean Stanton's a head-scratcher, and it's just the result of editing. I don't know why they didn't cut that scene entirely. I mean, if you just had Hulk falling and never saw him get back up, then it would have been an even bigger mystery. Maybe he died when he fell off the plane. You know, it would have led a lot more mystery. I guess the you have no pants on joke was just too good a joke to miss.
Well, no, I think they did need that scene a little. I mean, at least that scene, because as it is, there's no explanation of why Hulk shows up to help anybody. It's just all of a sudden he decides like, oh, all right, I like those guys. But he was pissed off and just getting off the helicarrier when we last saw him.
What I would call a flaw of the movie is that Tony Stark keeps saying, hey, is Banner here yet? Oh, we've got a Hulk. And, you know, Justin, to your point, how does he know that Hulk's even, you know, willing to come help, is not just mad at everybody, or he even survived, et cetera, et cetera. Granted,
he saw the trailers.
Him and Banner connected pretty well, I think, in the helicarrier. But I was telling somebody last night that if they had just dropped a line with the Harry Dean Stanton bit of Banner just saying, hey, where am I? I got to get to New York. Because he gets the whole Stark Tower thing. A little line dropped like that, to me, would have made it come together. Because you're right. They're in the middle of the battle, and Hulk just shows up. Banner just shows up. And it's like, that was awkward. That was awkward.
Not enough to ruin the movie for me, but enough that it just didn't make too much sense that he just showed up.
I do like how they kind of showed and explained why everybody kept losing their masks. I mean, I've gotten used to Thor not having his helmet, but Cap running around without his mask. I'm like, why doesn't he have his mask on in all the promo shots? That's really odd. Oh, they got to show his face. I get that. But, you know, and then they just had it ripped off. Oops. Okay. That works. There was a scene I was kind of hoping for, but it's too soon, I think, to do it. See Thor drop his hammer, which he seems to do a lot in this movie. And I want to see Captain America pick it up and hand it to him and not even realize what he's doing.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet. And a nice nod.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, his Hulk is trying to pick it up, and he can't. And then Captain's like, here you go, Thor. Too soon for that.
How about the big OS scene where, you know, before Banner hulks out for the first time, he picks up Loki's spear. And the whole time I'm thinking, if he hulks out and the Hulk has the power, there's going to be some real trouble. Mm.
Speaking of Loki's spear, Tony putting on his bracelets to turn off the spear or whatever, that I don't know how he had that tech or how he knew what to do, but that was pretty funny.
He didn't turn off the spear. It was the arc reactor.
Oh, it had nothing to do with those bracelets?
No, the bracelets are what called the Mark 7 armor to him.
Yeah, they're like, homing device or whatever.
Thank you. Okay.
And speaking of that arc reactor, did anybody else notice that it wasn't always on, specifically after Coulson dies and Cap and Tony are sitting at the table? And I'm looking at his Black Sabbath shirt, and I'm like, where's his arc reactor? It's not even on. And, you know, he even has a couple lines, but I guess they ran out of batteries that day.
It has a sleep mode.
Is there a significant difference that I'm just missing in all of Iron Man's armors? I mean, other than the fact that the chest went back to being a circle. It looked just like the armor he was just wearing.
Oh, there are subtle differences that Justin can detail about the silver and the shoulders. Go ahead, Justin.
Okay,
the floor.
I didn't notice that. I was like, it's the same armor.
So you're Iron Manist, huh? They all look the same to you.
Well, you know, somebody mentioned earlier that they purposely went out and bought the Mark 7 figure, and that's what I bought too, because I'm like, well, I have a 6 already, and I don't care about the stealth version because that's just, you know, made up. I'm waiting for the ultimate one that they'll probably do at some point.
Speaking of armors, don't you feel like they missed an opportunity to do a scuba armor? When we first see Tony, he's underwater.
Whoa. Yes.
Shut up. I don't need to buy more hot toys. I just wish my dream for Iron Man 3 is that he starts the movie with the Mark 7 and it's good enough that he ends the movie with the Mark 7 instead of the Mark 12, allowing, you know, Hot Toys to make 4 more.
Not gonna happen. They're already saying that his armor is gonna be the Extremis armor.
All right, one's worth shelling out for.
It'll change. Marjorie mentioned Pepper earlier. Somebody said why she was in the movie, because this in when I first started watching it, I said this sort of feels like an Iron Man movie with the interaction between Tony and Pepper, and Coulson shows up, and I'm like, this is kind of, yeah, I remember this from the other two movies. And probably about a half hour into it, I go, this doesn't feel like an Iron Man movie anymore. This is something completely different. So, you know, kudos for sort of making that transition. I'm looking forward to seeing where else they go with it, really.
But that's just more evidence that Robert Downey Jr. is carrying these movies. He's like the de facto boss of the Avengers, and he's the one that people go to see.
Yep.
You can't deny that if you rank the Avengers, it would be Iron Man as number one, hands down. He's got two movies. He was the first one they did. And I'm going to put Thor at the bottom. Because it's
Hulk
Thor.
Is at the bottom.
Hulk? He had a TV show.
Anymore. Maybe not anymore, but...
He had a TV show and two movies.
And that's counting of the top four. I mean, really, Coulson's at the bottom. Maria Hill's below Coulson, even.
I'd put Coulson pretty up there. He was the constant.
Coulson is the reason why they're the Avengers now, so you cannot put Coulson at the bottom. Coulson is at the top.
That was his line, right?
Yes. He is the reason why. I was so upset when he gets a shank through the heart. But then at the end, you know, he says, hey, boss, it's okay. It was never going to work unless... And then, you know, Nick Fury gets those cards out of his locker, spreads a little blood on there, and throws them in front of everybody. Voila, you got the Avengers.
Which is a creepy thought, by the way, that he, like, smeared blood on cards.
Well, he had a lot to choose from.
Am I the only one who was just wishing that Upper Deck had the blood-smeared variants in their cases, like one blood smeared per deck?
Well, you know, you can make your own.
No!
Well, you know, there's the ones that have the official outfit from the movie. You know, I've got like 18 pieces of Scarlett Johansson's outfit. I want actual Coulson blood. You know, they did that in comics. Kiss stood over in Marvel Comics Publishing, and they all, like, cut their finger and dropped
blood. That's an urban legend.
No, it is fact. It is urban fact that Marvel Comics printed comics with Kiss blood. I want Coulson blood on my cards.
That was the Hepatitis B universe, I believe.
That was the 70s for you.
You know, when that scene happened where Coulson is kind of asking Cap to sign his cards, I'm like, oh, how uncomfortable was that? Because I kind of asked him to sign my son's shield. And it's like, yeah, hey, he really didn't want to do it, but he's being a nice guy to Coulson. So I'm this group's Coulson, except I still have my heart.
I think the movie, though, what I liked so much about it, and Marjorie just kind of responded to what you said about Iron Man and Robert Downey Jr. carrying it, I actually felt like that wasn't the case. I felt like everyone had their moment. I mean, you could make an argument for this being a Thor movie because of the interaction between him and Loki. You can make an argument it was a Captain America movie because of the key scenes he had. Hulk obviously stole a lot of the scenes at the end during the final battle. I mean, I think everyone shined, at least of the top four. They all shined in spectacular ways. And I didn't feel like it was just Iron Man 3 featuring the Avengers.
No, very true. And on the other side of that, we talked in the past about, or at least personally, I kept saying that I didn't think that Loki was a strong enough villain to be the only villain throughout this movie. And I was saying stuff like I thought maybe Red Skull was going to be secretly in the movie or something like that. But I owe Mr. Hiddleston an apology. He really came out and shone in this as a supervillain. He really stepped up his game on this one, much more so than he did in the original Thor.
Okay, I gotta throw one thing out here. Did anybody think, though, Dark of the Moon while they were watching this? Or did just nobody see that movie?
Is that the Transformers movie?
You know, yeah. I saw it, Jerry. I was kind of had to.
Yeah, I know you and I were contractually obligated, but yeah, Transformers 3, Dark of the Moon, the big fight in Chicago, the space bridge bringing in the planet, you know, hundreds of robots taking over Chicago and like six people there to defend it and they win. I mean, Joss Whedon must just peed his pants when he saw that movie last summer because obviously they're already filming this. But
yeah, the giant mecha flying worm through buildings feels like it's been done already now, but it didn't bother me because this, you know, this is the movie I wanted to see. I didn't really care to see Battleship or Transformers. So if they're going to be in all these movies, this is the one that they'd belong in, I guess.
Did everybody notice who did the CGI, by the way?
Yes.
Anybody watch the credits?
Well, if you didn't...
Did anybody not
watch
the credits?
Yeah, if you didn't watch the credits, you're a moron.
Hey, it's a Marvel movie. Stay for after the credits.
Well, except for the movie, the scene at the end of the credits was humorous, but it left me with a, really, that was it? I mean, you got Thanos immediately. But back to your question, Barrett.
Yeah, it was just Lucasfilm. I just didn't know that Lucasfilm, they must have their hand in everything.
Well, that's how Jon Favreau became a voice on the Clone Wars as he was working on Iron Man, Iron Man 2 up at ILM. And
there was a lot of sound effects. It had a lot of new prequel-era Star Wars sound effects in them, a lot of speeder sounds from the city and some laser blast sounds that were very, very Lucasfilmy.
Very, very Lucasfilmy, but just like Lucasfilm, they did a really good job. Like, you know, Arnie had mentioned on the Iron Man review on Now Playing how he could not tell when it was the regular armor that Downey was wearing and when it was CGI armor. And they really kept the same Iron Man feel to it. You know, it's like you go from different, you know, Marjorie, you mentioned it before. This is the best CGI Hulk. When you went from different Hulk movies, the Hulk looks totally different. You know, we have Iron Man now in three different movies, and he looks the same as he did the first time you saw him. And I really appreciated that, the continuity that they kept when it came to the imagery.
Yeah. Hulk is a lot less Shrek-like.
Well, I have to say, going back to the Mark VII armor, the movie did cause a bit of an impulse buy. Opening weekend, Gentle Giant had a sale on their Mark VII movie armor Iron Man bust. I'd avoided the full-size Gentle Giant bust, not because they're not good. They are very good, but because they're pricey and they're half a Hot Toy in cost and a third of a Hot Toy in size. But when they offered that Avengers premiere deal of $55 and free shipping, like, well, I can just have one bust if it's Iron Man. That can just be like a decoration I put around somewhere.
So you did it.
Yeah, I did it.
No, that's, we've talked about that before, and the armored characters definitely lend themselves more to a half of a person type of collectible.
What about the Legos? We've talked a lot about the Hasbro and some of the higher end stuff. I got a message from one of our listeners who went to the Lego store in Manhattan, and the weekend the movie opened, they completely sold out of Avengers Legos.
Yeah, I've noticed that the Quinjet seems to be the one that's not at a lot of stores, particularly Target and Walmart. The Helicarrier one with the Hulk, that's everywhere. That's the one that I got the first day they came out. And the Captain America set on the bike, that too, that's easily available. But I saw that on the boards when you posted that link about the new polybag kits coming out, the little mini Quinjet. That thing, I cannot wait for that. And I even like built my own little one, and you know, while I'm waiting for it to try to make it look good, because man, I love that jet so much. But these things are, I mean, if you don't have it, or if you've got to get the Hulk Helicarrier set just for that Hulk figure alone. That thing is fantastic.
So I held off on that from when it first came out because I picked it up for the Lego purchase or for the Lego promo so I could get the little Hulk figurine, you know, for the deal they had the Lego stores and Lego.com.
I did the same thing, Jerry. The week before that, they had the weekend Avengers opened, they had a special Star Wars minifigure, but you could buy any Legos. It didn't have to be Star Wars Legos. So I got the Quinjet and the Wolverine Chopper Showdown with the Wolverine and the Deadpool that weekend, and got the TC-14 and an R2-D2 poster. Then the next weekend for the Hulk, I picked up the ones I was missing.
I'm looking through some of the Lego pictures from Toy Fair, so, and it just reminded me of something in the film. So Loki was trapped in this cage that was built to hold the Hulk, right? And then Thor eventually got trapped in that same cage. And S.H.I.E.L.D.'s master plan for that cage was to just drop it.
Yeah.
Really?
And no explanation of really what it was. I mean, apparently it was thick glass, but why? Well, Loki in it?
He didn't want to leave. But when Thor hit it, some like brace it was added onto it or something like that. And I don't know. It was just like, so it just falls?
Yeah, it was falling MacGuffin.
Hey, it worked in Death of the Incredible Hulk on TV. He just fell from a lifting off plane.
Oh,
this has
my.
To do it.
Yeah. Now you're going back.
Hey, am I the only one when Hulk and Thor were fighting just waited for Thor to say, have at thee, troll?
No, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about that. I didn't know you had trolls here.
That they'd go to a bar and have some beer. Oh, wait, they actually did that in Thor.
Right.
And there was one other small, tiny little phrase that was missing from this movie. Anybody want to guess what it was?
Enough said.
Avengers Assemble. Cap never said that. And I was waiting the whole time for him to say Avengers Assemble. And he never did.
Well, because this is really the Ultimates.
They don't say Avengers Assemble in the Ultimates? Do they say Ultimates Assemble?
I don't know what they say. I was glad to see why we had a sleeveless Thor figure come out in the Thor movie line when he didn't have that outfit on. It's like, oh, because he's going to wear it in the Avengers. I see. That makes sense.
There it is. Yep.
Right.
You know, one other day of movie purchase that I made that really wasn't exactly film related, but was certainly Avengers hype, is that I did find the second wave of light up figures at Toys R Us. So I felt like I had to pick up that Black Panther. I just thought that figure was really cool. And Justin, I thought of you because the see-through Iron Man really yes. was tempting, but I didn't think he was $17 cool. I'm not sure if the Black Panther is either, but at least he's a character we don't get over and over again.
That's the only one that I've seen was that Iron Man. He replaced Hawkeye, right?
Yeah, and without much, you know, ado from Hasbro either, because there was supposed to be a Hawkeye, and then we saw some pictures out of the Philippines or something of a translucent Iron Man with a base, so wasn't sure where that was going to fit in, but it was just to replace Hawkeye, I guess. Mm. But yeah, it's I picked that one up because it was translucent, but you're right, Jerry. $17 is a little bit steep. I got three of them. I left Cap sitting there because if the first wave of them is any indication, we're going to see that wave of Cap for the next 2 years on the shelves at Toys R Us, and I'll wait for a sale on that one.
Well, and just the mold of the Cap that they use that we've gotten a couple times, I looked at that and just like, I can't believe they're offering this figure. I mean, it has a different paint scheme, I suppose, more metallic or dark or whatever it was. But that one really struck me odd. It seems like the Black Panther is a different, it's a different mold, I'm guessing, from what's been
the
used.
The body's been updated.
Past. Yeah. And the paint scheme's kind of cool on it. I wish it was more of just a solid, glossy black or something to be really cool versus sort of that midnight dark blue that kind of transcends into a black here and there. But overall, that was a pretty cool figure.
Just the Cap wasn't even necessary. Out of six figures, why do two of them need to be Cap? You know?
Agreed.
And two of them Iron Man, yeah.
Actually, the Iron Man I get. It's like Marjorie said, Iron Man's number one. Two of Cap? I don't know. That does seem a little excessive, especially when you're going for an Avengers line. I mean, yeah, even if you're bringing in Earth's Mightiest Heroes, which has Black Panther, you still don't have Bucky Cap.
Right.
Justin, does the light-up base look really cool with the translucent Iron Man, or does the colors get all lost between the blue light and the orange-yellowish armor?
I haven't opened them yet, but these bases don't seem to have the same light feature as the Iron Man Hall of Armor bases did. So I can't really speak to that, but even just looking at the figure in the package, it seems like more of a cloudy, translucent plastic rather than a nice, clean and shiny one. But it almost looks like he's on fire, coming back from outer space and burning up in reentry than anything else. But, it's a gimmick and I fell for it because we have that figure in that mold three or four times already too. So, yeah.
Well, I can't deny that on Free Comic Book Day, the day Avengers came out, those were the things that I was obsessing over because Justin had sent me a text about a week earlier saying they were out, and then I started seeing posts on our Facebook page of people finding them. Our Toys R Us is crap. Really, it is. We don't get anything. And so we ended up going down to St. Louis for Free Comic Book Day and seeing some artists doing sketches at Star Clipper and things. We hit four different Toys R Us's. On the fourth one, they had one set of these on shelves, and it was a sale for Avengers weekend. They were $15 a figure, so I happily grabbed all four and didn't look back.
Nice. Now you can finally make the huge circle of death that will eat up most of your desk space.
Yeah, I don't have any place to put the circle of death, but...
See, I've completely avoided that light-up base thing, and I collect every Marvel Universe I can because I know eventually they're going to go on sale again.
Yeah, that's how I picked up most of the Hall of Armor figures because those were sitting around at Target for a good long time and went down in price.
Oh, they went down to $3.
I was just going to say.
When they were $3, I filled up my cart just so I had some light-up bases.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jerry had made a post about, hey, pick some up, there's Toys for Tots coming around. So I picked up a bunch when they were $3, and I handed them all for Toys for Tots.
Did you open them up and keep the bases and the figures?
No.
I think that would have been fair, though.
$3. No, I kept them intact, thank you very much. But, Arnie, I wanted to ask you, what cologne did you wear when you went and saw the Avengers movie?
I did pick up the four-pack of cologne, and Marjorie actually took them all to work because she writes a blog for our paper, Geeked, and she did a write-up of the colognes. She wanted to get the lady she worked with's impression of the smell. Their top two were Mark 7 and Patriot. So I wore Patriot to the show, and she wore Black Widow.
And how did you feel, Marjorie? Did you feel that you could interrogate a god?
Oh, absolutely. Totally.
In fact, that night she interrogated me about how much I spent on Avengers toys.
Really need 100 chibis, Arnie?
The chibis, mother bleeper. I ended up just going to Target, and there's a Starbucks at our Target. Buy 2 packs of chibis, go to Starbucks, open them. Go back, buy 2 packs of chibis, go to Starbucks, open them. Finally, I had a Hulk. I could call it a day.
You know, Arnie, a Hulk's head is much bigger than any of the other ones. You probably could have inspected and found that one.
Black Widow's head is also very big, and I didn't know Hulk's head was big until I had a Hulk.
I don't think we can have this conversation 3 weeks in a row, but we're getting real damn close.
Well, now you have an army and you have a Hulk.
Yes, I have an army of Agent Coulson's chibis.
Oh, may they all rest in peace then.
Yeah, you need me to custom one with the little blood on the front for you?
Only if you can, like, paint a little deck of cards falling from his hand.
And make that big, that BMF gun or whatever that he has to.
Oh, yeah, I'll just steal something from the Halo line because that's what it looks like.
Oh, so that's what it does.
I'm waiting for some hot toy to come out with that as like a special accessory because it's mentioned in the movie. That's made from the destroyer parts that were left over in Thor. They miniaturized the destroyer into a gun.
Well, maybe we are getting a Coulson hot toy eventually. Maybe that's the last one after Hulk.
We got the Chitauri gun with Cap. So somebody's got to bring us the destroyer gun. Loki, of course, will come with the spear.
And I assume that we got that gun with Cap because of the one scene where he disarms one of them and he's holding it in his hand.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It would have made more sense if he would have came with an AK-47 he was shooting on the bridge or whatever.
Or a red lever.
Or some sort of electricity gadget that was being ran.
Hey, speaking of which, all these guys are completely just hacking into any area of the helicarrier that they want to. Supposed to be like one of the most secure things on the planet. And Cap's just walking around into the storage area.
You got unauthorized Quinjets flying next to it with payloads. We got a payload, you know.
Yeah, not all that secure.
Why can the helicarrier cloak? I can't come up with an answer to that. It's cool. It was cool when I saw it in Star Trek, you know, in the 60s, too. Why did it cloak? Did that have a point that I missed?
Who would they have to hide from? It has such big firepower. Who on Earth would they have to hide from? And he didn't even...
Especially at 30,000 feet.
Apparently, well, the Quinjet with the payload. And then he says, he doesn't even say cloak, you know, and I can just see them taking cut after cut and him saying certain words. What's going to work? Let's vanish. I'm like, oh, Lord.
Well, I don't think the general populace is necessarily aware of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, it would be a little disconcerting to see a big flying helicarrier just floating above you.
That's my point, Justin. They're not cloaked as they take off. They're cloaked at 30,000 feet. They're running into hot air balloons.
They're cloaked at cruising speed. Yeah. Yes.
But that's okay. You're also talking about Nick Fury, the guy who shoots a bazooka at a plane that he suspects has a nuclear bomb on it.
But he doesn't know if it's the exact one. And obviously, he was wrong. So,
well, actually, you know what it did? It saved me $80 because I now have 3 cloaked helicarriers in my collection already. So.
So how about those Build-A-Bears?
I was very excited to walk by the Build-A-Bear store and see an Avengers display because I really wanted all 4 as bears. And I'm not a teddy bear person. I'm the least girly girl probably on this call. I'll say that. I'll throw that out there. And...
At the same time, you're also the most.
But I was really excited because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that'd be so cute because I really loved it when we got the Jedi bears and a Darth bear. Very cute. But the problem was they didn't have holes for their eyes except for Hulk. So they're just wearing like a Captain America mask and an Iron Man mask.
Here's the biggest problem.
And there was no Thor, so I guess I really couldn't make the Avengers say it's Spider-Man.
There was no Thor. Hulk looked like he was basically a kid in a Halloween costume because it just had a bear face and a weird Easter bonnet. Spider-Man, the outfit didn't fit the bear right, so it looked like, honestly, more like Peter Porker, the spider pig, than anything. And Iron Man with the vinyl face, I'm sorry, all I could think of was bring out the Gimp.
That's Gimp the spectacular Spider-Ham, by
yes,
the way.
Spectacular, yes, spectacular Spider-Ham. Thank you. I thought it was Spider Pig, Spider-Ham, yes.
That was from the Simpsons movie, but anyway, never mind.
Speaking of Spider-Man, wouldn't it have been sort of cool to just see Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst just walking around New York? Not necessarily saying anything, running in the streets maybe, but...
That would have been a wonderful FU to the competing studio that rebooted their franchise.
Yeah,
they could have had Spider-Man shirts on. That would have been great.
So, going forward, as we are in this afterglow of the movie, how much are you guys looking to spend and on what?
You know, my thing is, I bought one Hot Toys, the Captain America, over Christmas time, and I am actually now knowing that they're going to make so many of them, I'm not going there. I'm not going to go down the Hot Toys route. But instead, and this, you know, for a lover like you, Arnie, of Hot Toys, this is probably going to be, you know, something that you probably don't really get how I can swap one for the other, but it's all in the name of just, like, not going broke on toys.
You're
going
to tell me the Captain Action, aren't you?
No.
Okay.
No, not
if I can't have Hot Toys, Captain Action, that's just as good.
No, I'm glad you brought up Captain Action, though, because I can find the Captain Action base figure with no problems, but I can't find any of the costumes. I'm a little aggravated about that. But no, what I was going to say was, and this is even more different than Captain Action, but I am really interested in getting into the Marvel Select figures for what they're going to make for the movies and even the ones I missed out last year on. I want to go back and kind of catch up on that. I think that'd be a kind of a nice way. I really like those figures, and I do want to catch up on that.
Well, just to piggyback on yours, Jerry, I am probably going to dip my hands. Everybody take a breath. And Hot Toys.
Oh, no.
You're buying dolls?
What?
I could. Well, listen. I cannot see a Hulk in a Hot Toy scale that is a doll, my friend, because he's not going to be able to put on Ken's smoking jacket. Okay? This is Hulk we're talking about. And I just can't help but think about Fury's words in the movie. You know, a little bit of Hot Toys aren't going to cause any harm. Eh, it could be harmful. You know what I'm saying? It could be a little harmful to get started, but I am going to pick up that Hot Toys Hulk, and I am going to pick up the Select Hulk. You know, I'm a big Hulk fan. I got to have it. It's just going to be, those are just going to be too good of figures to pass up. I need a Hulk that's within scale to my other action figures, and I think that those are going to work out for me. But as far as the next wave of figures going to be released, if we get another wave of Avengers, it depends on who it's going to be. I don't see myself picking up that Black Widow. I may, you know, if it goes on sale, but if I could find her, I probably will pick up the Helicarrier just because it is humongous and awesome when it finally comes out. But that's probably about it.
I've been picking up pretty much everything I need as it comes out. But, yeah, I think I'm going to pick up that Helicarrier, too. I mean, if nothing else, I've got to have some place to park my Quinjet. As far as Hot Toys, those are kind of out of my league. But that Hulk one, that is that's a pretty tempting figure. I mean, even without seeing the face, you can already tell. I mean, it's going to look pretty eerie to have life-size, recreation of a CGI character that you can see on Muscle Magazine. But I think that I think what I'm going to do in the meantime is I'm going to corner the market on Thanos merchandise, so I'll have everything ready for Avengers 2 Cosmic Boogaloo.
I already picked up my Marvel Select Thanos on Amazon, so I'm set against that.
I was just going to say, that's a really good figure, if you can track that down.
Yeah, yep. There's one at a Puzzle Zoo near me, and I've been holding off on it, but I think on Monday I'm going to go pick it up.
Yes, he stands right in with the Legends line perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice that Thanos, he had sort of a human-like hand when he turned around? It was like real quick, and I was like, wait a minute, that's – no, he's too small. But the gauntlet's in Odin's hall, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. I can't believe they're going there already.
They may not be. I mean, that would be a weird one to do, but who knows?
I don't think they'd put him in there if they didn't have plans.
I'm sure they have plans for Thanos, but the Infinity Gauntlet and Thanos, you know, they had plans going on when they had the post-credits scene for Hulk, too, but those plans didn't quite pan out because they didn't have a script. So until it gets down to the script-writing stage. Justin, what about you?
Well, I think the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to head out to Toys R Us tomorrow, and I'm going to pick up the Agent K 3 3/4 action figure from the Men in Black 3 line, and I'm going to make him my Agent Coulson because he's pretty darn close. And after that, I'm gonna start saving my pennies because there's just, like everybody else has said, there's no way you can miss the Hot Toys Hulk. If you have any interest in Hot Toys at all, the Hulk is the one to have. So that one will be joining my small but steadily growing collection of Hot Toys as soon as possible.
The one thing I'll warn you, I actually looked at those Men in Black figures for customization. The sunglasses are not removable.
Ah, but the heads are.
Arnie, everything is removable once.
Yeah, exactly, once. Beyond that, I'm still looking forward to the Walmart exclusive Marvel Legends. That'll be good for this line, and hoping against odds that wave 3 of the 3 3/4 inch figures make it out there in decent enough numbers, because we're going to have a SIF on our hands all over again, I think.
Well, apparently Avengers are doing better than any of the other movies, so it'll probably last longer. It's not going to be a one-and-done line, I hope. I'd like to see more characters.
Iron Man 2 did really well, and the more characters we saw were Iron Man.
Well, that's the problem with Iron Man. It's just the same guy over and over. If you wanted Iron Man, you probably have him already.
And Iron Man 2 doesn't have the biggest weekend grossing of all time as well. You know, I mean, you kind of have to be a fool not to leave those toys out there all the way until Christmas and beyond, you know, getting ready for like the Blu-ray release and everything like that. So I just don't see them not giving us enough Black Widows.
Here's the thing, though, is, I mean, if you're looking at depth of the line, though, beyond wave 3, it takes so long to get a figure from concept to stores that the best we could hope for are repaints.
Right. And from a toy aspect, I mean, Iron Man 2 ended its line bumping up against the release of Thor figures and then the release of Cap figures right after that. So Avengers will have a nice little full summer without another Marvel property to push it out of the way.
Spider-Man, you don't think is going to...
Well, Spider-Man already has its own peg space, and it's taking over that area, not necessarily the movie area of the toy aisle.
And Spider-Man has the same problem as Iron Man. I mean, you're not going to get a kid who's going to be able to tell whether it's Scuba Spider-Man or, you know, this Spider-Man. I mean, it's all going to be the same Spider-Man with just different articulation. So you have that wall to deal with.
Yeah. And that's even the other big superhero movie is, you know, The Dark Knight. That's not going to be, I mean, that'll be popular, but in all honesty, it's got Batman. That's it.
Avengers, well, and that line's never toy popular, though.
Well, no.
Well, it's aimed at
Avengers has everybody, so they can have, like, kids, you know, if you liked Iron Man, Hulk, Cap, Thor, Hawkeye, Black Widow, Nick Fury, I mean, there's just something in there for everyone. I see this lasting throughout the summer, even though you got Dark Knight looming. I think it's not going to matter.
Well, guys, thank you for joining us for this special episode. Glad to have you all here. Look forward to the next time. Barrett, since it's your line, we'll let you take us out.
All right, Arnie, thank you again. Until next time, true collectors, make my Marvelicious Toys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Marvelicious Toys. If you enjoyed this podcast, please help our show by leaving a positive review for the show on iTunes. There's even more Marvelicious content at our website, MarveliciousToys.com. At the site, you can see pictures of the products we discussed, find checklists for Marvel toys, talk and trade with the Marvelicious forums, and much more. It's all at MarveliciousToys.com. We want to hear your thoughts on Marvel collectibles. You can leave reports of your latest toy finds, as well as product reviews, on our voicemail at 803-MARVEL-4. Or email an MP3 or iPhone voice memo to show@MarveliciousToys.com. Marvelicious Toys is produced and edited by Arnie Carvalho. Podcast enhancement by Barrett. Marvelicious website design by Jason. Graphic design by Justin. Announcements by Brock. The Marvelicious theme song, Bam Pow Kablam, is composed by Joe Harrison.
See more of Joe's work at www.StarWarsFanWorks.com/Lion's Mouth. If you also like Star Wars Collecting is covered weekly at our other podcast, Star Wars Action News, which you can find at SWActionNews.com. Marvel Comics and all that the Marvel Multiverse contains are the intellectual property of Marvel Entertainment Incorporated, a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company, and no infringement is intended. Marvelicious Toys is a Venganza Media production. Copyright 2012. All rights reserved.
Jeff, what about you?
Oh, sorry. I'm so used to listening to the shows here. It's like, oh, I'm just listening to another podcast, but I realize I'm actually here.
And you've now made your way to the blooper reel.
Yeah, great.